needed to come to church tonight, and I know that you did too. And I appreciate y'all being here tonight. And we need one another. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the church. And thank you, Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, I got to thinking about the church. And on Wednesday night, I try to deal with some those golden bricks of salvation that the Lord has put on my mind and heart. So there's so many things, so many aspects of salvation. He just renews and just keeps giving every day some more bricks of salvation that we know about. And we won't understand it all till we get to heaven, but we just thank him. But I just thank him for the church, you know, especially for the local church. I know that we know the real church is the body of Christ, of born-again believers, no matter what denomination. But I want to thank him for the local church and those old golden bricks of salvation, that a family of God and a fellowship we have in Christ Jesus. And we have it here at Pleasant Hill and just as local churches around the world. We know that in the Old Testament that God deal with this world of people through the nation of Israel. He chose them. He called them out for his special people. He blessed them in a special way. And he worked through Israel, all the rest of the people of the world, to show the rest of the world what God could do with a group of people that's called by his name. So we know the nation of Israel was very special, not for who they was, but who God was, and that he had chosen them and worked through them. But we know so many times that they're like we are. They failed. They failed God. They failed to be what God had called them to be. And they were supposed to be the special, particular people that the rest of the world would look at them and want to know about their God, Jehovah. But instead of doing that, they went out into the ways of the people of the world, and they defiled God. And we know what happened in the New Testament time, that Jesus Christ said he come to his own, and his own received him not, so he came to the Gentiles, which is you and I. So in the New Testament, that we know that God works through the church, through his churches, through his called out ones. Now today, we are the called out ones. No longer is God working through the nation of Israel for the world. He's working through the church this hour. And we know that the nation of Israel, they had their time, and their time will start again. And we have a time, it's called the church age, from the time of Pentecost into the rapture of the church. And then at that time, we know 7 years, and we, the Gentiles, won't have to worry no more, because the nation of Israel is going to be number one on God's scene again. But now it's the church age that you and I are living in. God has called us out and sent us back into the world to be what God has called us to be, for this world to see what a great Jehovah God that we have, and how that he's blessed us so much. And they'll want this God that we have by looking at our lives and seeing the difference that Christ is supposed to make in our life. And they'll want what we have. And if they only knew what we had, the whole world would want it. So we just praise the Lord that God looked down upon me and you tonight and saved and called us to his holy calling. But I said, you know, in Sunday, in July the 4th, how the nation of Israel, Nehemiah's time would have been carried away. And you look at, he looked at his country and the tears and weeping that Nehemiah saw because the nation of Israel laid in ruin, and the gates and the walls was tore down. And he just had to cry about it a little bit. But now, for us, look at the United States. And we look at the church area and the church age that we're living in. And look at our local church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I should say, bring back the church. I think we really need to bring back the church for the purpose that it intended to be and to do. That's what we need. So let's read these verses of Scripture tonight. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 and on through 47, and we'll be looking at a few verses before 41. So it says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued to stand fast in apostle doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and have a favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we just thank you that we might be able to look into your precious word and see what, God, you intend for us to be as a church. And Father, we can look around the world and see the need, God, that we need to be what you call us out to be. Are we really, as we look at our own hearts at night, as we look at our church, Lord, that we are part of here at Pleasant Hill, are we really the church, God, that you call us to be? How close are we, Father, to the New Testament church? How close are we to being what you intended for us to be in this lost world that do not know you, Father? And it seems like more people all the time, Lord, is falling away. Father, but we want to ask you, Lord, this night to grant the mercy and the grace, Lord, again, Father, to bring back to the church the area that we need to be in. Father, that we might be able to grow, Lord, in your knowledge and grow, Lord, in your grace. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here, for every member of this church. And how we praise you because, Father, it's because of you, Lord. And we want to thank you and praise you for what you have been done in the past and through their lives and our lives and what you're doing this hour. And, Father, what you're going to be doing in the future, God. So we want to thank you, Lord, for all these blessings this hour for this church and for the church age, for the church that we call, Lord, your church. And, Lord, we want to thank you for all these blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we see the pattern now. The New Testament pattern here is in the book of Acts, and we want to thank the Lord for this, giving us a divine pattern because he gave us divine revelation. When you see through the eyes of the Bible now what the church is intended to be, you have to go back to the New Testament time and see the ideal, and it will give you a blessing what the church should really be. But sometimes we get burdens and we get frustrated as we look and see how far we have really come. And I do myself from what God intended for us to be. One of the reasons we find that there's different churches all around, there are different denominations, they're different type of churches in the denomination, they're all different type of denomination. They're trying to build a church as close as they can as possible to the New Testament church. They always find this difference and always trying to find a little closer. You know, I think really we need here at Pleasant Hill, we need to renew our commitment to do and to be. Everything that the church here is intended for God to call us out to be. Bring back the church. I think we need to make progress in moving in the direction to be what God called us to be and what we intended to be. The first church was at Pentecost. We know that it was supernatural. One day and one moment, we know the church wasn't. The next moment, the church was. It was supernatural that God called the church into existence. And as we go and look at the foundation, back where we need to start from is we look in the book of Acts. And we need to start from that foundation again. So many times we try to copy other churches. There may be a church that's growing in this area. It might be this denomination. It might be a church in our association. It might be this and that. We see how they may be growing and doing good. Maybe you see they have a revival. And so we get interested in and see what type of program and see what they're really doing. And we tried to maybe copy that so many times, and then we find out that it just don't work for us like it's working for them. It don't work for another church like it works for that church. Well, one of the reasons for this, we know that we have some carpenters in here. We know that Johnny and Joe, they good carpenters. And how many times do they take a piece of wood and they want to make a pattern, and they mark that piece of wood, and they mark that piece of wood for a pattern. They keep that for a pattern, and they mark another piece of wood by that pattern. They cut it, and they take that pattern and move it down, and they mark another piece of wood. If you ever tried to take one piece of wood and mark it, and you take that piece you saw off, and then you mark it, and that piece you saw off and mark it, before long, you'd be that board get longer and longer and longer and longer. You see, because you need a pattern. You got to keep that original. Well, see, that's what the churches have been doing ever since Pentecost. Like I said, they see a different movement over here. We run over and we try this and we try that, and we mark that mark on that board, and we move it down, and you see, before long, it's not even close to the same pattern that we start off with. It's not even, it may be an inch off or 2 inches off as we keep on marking and keep on moving. Ladies, as you make patterns, you used to make patterns for dresses the same way. Well, this is what the church is really about, and sometimes I think we need to get that old pattern back. And see, the pattern is not another church in our association. And the pattern is not another church of our Southern Baptist, and the pattern is not another church that's in another denomination. The pattern is the Word of God back to the book of Acts where it started from. That's the pattern. And I think so many times that we've got away from the pattern. To summarize the mark of a healthy, growing church, we need to get back to the pattern and see this first pattern of the New Testament church. And the first pattern is it was saved people. Now, that's what we really got to understand. It was saved people. In verse 41 and 47 again, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Saved. So we see that word saved. Sometimes that word saved there is an embarrassing word for some group of people. Did y'all know that? Are you saved? Are you born again? They don't want to mention are you saved or you born again in a lot of groups and a lot of church groups today. They get embarrassed with that word. Well, that word saved describes what happened when you and I were saved. Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born again. It's great to be saved, isn't it? That's one of them, the first golden bricks we find out of our salvation, to know that we're saved, and what a great difference it makes. And there's a difference of being on a church roll and also being in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the reason that we need to get back to the Bible and get back to the pattern of the Bible, the church, because to start with, it said they were saved people. I believe there's a lot of people on church's roll today that have not been born again. Now, I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. People look saved to me. You can't tell by their look. They don't have a mark on the back. We don't really know who's saved, who's not saved. That's not our business. But, it tells us, we can know the fruit, know them by the fruit that they bear. But being on the church roll and being in the Lamb's Book of Life, the difference is a salvation. Now, you got to be saved. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Philippian jailer, we know what happened to him. He said, after he had washed the Paul and Silas, and what can we do, he said, to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It brings salvation not only to you, but also to your household, because there'll be a different change in you and your family to see this, or the household salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, that's a Bible word, salvation. Being saved is a Bible word. And it also says in the Bible, neither there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So to start with, as we get back to the New Testament church and building a church, or God building his church, it's got to be built on saved people, not just numbers, not just people's had acquaintance with the church. And I think that's a lot of problems we have in today and around in what we call our church communities, is because if people have an experience with the church and haven't had an experience with Jesus Christ. Salvation is a change. There's a change that takes place in salvation. And maybe grow at different speeds, but there's a growth that takes place. And there's a change, as you know, in your heart and my heart as you got saved. And that's what salvation is. So getting back to start with, the God's church, bringing back the church, we need to understand that salvation is what people need to understand. They need salvation. That will bring them to the church. New Testament church was made up with saved people. As I said, only Jesus Christ knows for sure. He's the only one that needs to know. Jesus Christ says, by their fruits you may know them. We'll know by the way they live and their testimony and the way they treat the things of God. There's a lot of people on church roll today that really don't have any use for the things of God. And, that's what the Bible says. Are they really saved? You don't know, and I don't know, but God knows. Saved. Now, see, there's two viewpoints. There's two viewpoints here about salvation, and both of them are true. There's a divine side of it, and there's a human side of it. And we have to keep that in balance. The divine side of it, in verse 39 again, listen to what it says in 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now that is the divine side of it. God does the calling. Y'all do understand that, don't you? That's God's side of it. That's the divine side of it. Romans 3, 10 and 11. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. All mankind, there's none that runs to be saved. God takes the first initiative. The people that come to church, God's already working on them. Adam, Where art thou? He took the initiative. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14, it says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtain of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereunto he called. He called by the gospel. Now, whenever you first understood the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's one way that God called you, that God had died for you. Proverbs 1 and 24 and 28 says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hands and no man regardeth. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. There's a divine part of it. It does the calling. From time to time, God calls people. And a lot of people won't answer God's call. We know that there, it says, wide is the gate, it leads to destruction. Many be there that go in. And there's a narrow road. There's a narrow road. And few ago. But God calls people. God calls people, and God gives people a chance of their calling. Many, I believe, have been on the church roll, have had an experience with the church and really have not answered the call of God. And he says, I've called, but sometimes he says, they won't answer. No matter what we try to do as a church, we know that God has to do the calling. We can visit, we can, we can pray, we can do all we can do on the human side. Excuse me. But really, God has got to do the calling. The calling comes, and maybe one day when they call and they say no so long, that God says that my spirit will not strive with man forever. That's the divine side. That's where conviction comes from. He convicts us that we need to be saved. He convicted me, he convicted you. Verse 37 and 38, it says, now when they heard this, now Peter was preaching the day of Pentecost to the Jews that crucified Jesus Christ. They heard this. They was pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? You see, God was pricking their heart. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, they was deeply moved. They was deeply stirred and convicted in their soul by the Spirit of God. God convicted them for what they had done. It says, that's verse 36, this same Jesus whom you have crucified both is Lord and Christ. You see, not many days before this, those Jews, they the one that pierced Jesus Christ by their sins and hollering, crucify, crucify him on the cross of Calvary. Now this same Jesus is piercing their heart and making them aware that they need a Savior. You know, that's our job, you know, to tell people they need a Savior. Don't you want to thank the Lord that he revealed himself to you and you answered that calling you answered that calling and he pierced your heart and let you know that you needed a Savior? Did you know there's so many people that's living around us that don't know that they need a Savior? They don't know that they need someone to pay for their sins. They think they're doing pretty good, but Jesus Christ let them know they needed a Savior. Now, Jesus Christ, when he became personally to me, when I saw Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary dying for me, my spiritual eyes was opened, and I understood that I was a sinner and I'm the one that helped put Jesus Christ on the cross. I know that Jesus Christ died for the whole world, but I know it come personal to me, the conviction when I saw myself there at the cross and my sins and your sins is the one that put Jesus Christ on the cross. When you realize that, then you have conviction in your heart, and I'm going to tell you, you will be changed. We know that we'll never be perfect in these old bodies that we're living in. That's the reason Jesus Christ come, and we'll never have to worry about being perfect in these old bodies, but there'll be a change. And there was a change in these people because they was ready to be baptized. That was the divine side, what God done. And then there's the human side, the viewpoint of it. In verse 37, then they said, men and brothers, what shall we do? Now that's the human side of it. Men and brothers, what shall we do? If you was lost tonight, I'm preaching the word of God, you was convicted tonight, what to do? And then it says, verse 38, repent and be baptized, verse 41, and they gladly received his word and were baptized. That's on the human side. What we can do is repent. God's side is calling us, and you respond to that whosoever will. And that point is that we repent of our sins. And you see, if people don't repent, there's no salvation. That's another error I really think that we are really so far from really the first church, and so far away from the pattern, because we have this easy believism, and it is easy, and we just accept it. But you see, there's the foundation, and the pattern is to repent. And there's so many people that think that they can keep on with their sins and be saved. But you see, you got to repent. That means to turn around and walk away from those sins and walk to Jesus Christ. They got to be reverse cycle in your life and to repent. And if we have not repented, you know, there's no change, there's no repentance, there's no salvation. Now, I didn't say this. People get mad sometimes. But listen, if there's not no change in your lifestyle and no change, what good would salvation be to you anyway? There's always going to be some change. And it says, repent, turn about face. And only God can do the one to change us. You know, he's the one that changes you. He changed your mind about yourself. He changed your mind about sin. He's the one that changes us. You know, you didn't know how bad the sinner that you was. And I didn't know how bad a sinner I was until the Lord began to let me see myself. And then, you see, I had a change of mind about myself. And then I had a change of mind about my sin. When you change your mind about self and sin, that's repentant. I didn't no longer want to live in that condition anymore. Depending on myself, I thought I was a pretty good man. You know, everybody thinks they're a pretty good man. I'm just good enough to go to hell. That's what I was. And you know, everybody's the same way. You're just good enough to go to hell. That's all you are. And I saw that. And I want to repent. And there's so many, I think, is on the church rolls today, is really never repented of their sins. And it says, Jesus Christ says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's the words of the Lord, and it's not mine. If there's no repentance, there's no salvation. That's what Jesus Christ says. Repentance, a change of mind, change of directions. You turn to Jesus Christ from your sins. Verse 41, they that received his word, repentance. Repentance is by faith. That's what happens inward. Nobody can't see. Outward, it says that they was baptized. That's the expression that we have when we follow Jesus Christ. And that's the outward expression. Let people know what's happened in my heart and what's happened in your heart, that I want to follow Jesus Christ through baptism. And I believe whenever people really repent of their sin and they really come under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, I don't believe you have to beg them to come and follow Jesus Christ through baptism. I don't believe you have to beg them to want to come and be a member of the local church somewhere or another. I really believe that God teaches that in his word. And when that change comes, I believe that I don't care how shy they might be. It don't matter. They don't want to walk the aisle. I'm ashamed. I'm shy. But when the word of God and the spirit of God gets on them just right, and that conviction comes, I don't care who it is. I believe they'll be ready to get saved. That conviction on hard enough. I know it was hard for me to come down the aisle. Oh, Lord, walk in front of a bunch of people. You don't know what to expect. Lord, that was hard for me. And I know you too, a lot of you right here. It may have been hard for you too. But you see, they couldn't nothing stop me. And I tell you, I was ready to come. I was ready to come forward. I didn't know what it was, but I was ready to jump out of a 10-story building. If God said jump out, I was ready to jump. You see, whenever the Lord gets a hold of you, right, I just believe there'll be repentance, and I don't think you'll be ashamed of joining a local church anymore. Don't mean we're perfect, does it? He didn't say we're perfect, because we're a long way from being perfect here at Pleasant Hill. We're a long ways, but you see, we're making progress. Saved, that's the foundation. Jesus Christ says to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. You see, that's a statement of a foundational fact. Peter is a little pebble, and you know what? We are precious stones, the Word of God says, and that's what he's going to build his church. Now, to build God's church, if you're out there fixing to build a house, and you fix to order supplies, and you order supplies for your house, and a truck pulls up there and just unloads a whole big old truckload of corn. Another truck backs up there and unloads a big old a truckload of watermelons. You can't build a house with corn and watermelons. That's not no foundation. I mean, you got to have a foundation. You can't build a church for lost people either. That's what I'm telling you. That's reading to start with. the first church was founded on saved people. I don't care about the numbers. I mean, God likes numbers because he wants everybody to be saved. That's a bunch of numbers, isn't it? But to start with, I'm going to tell you, well, they need saved people. Again, I don't know who's saved. But you can't build a foundation with lost people. You can't build a church with lost people. The first mark of New Testament church, they was saved people. The second mark of New Testament church was surely to be a steady program or process going on in the lives of people in their life. So as we look at this again, it says there that the continue stand fast in verse 42. Continue stand fast. That means they was devoted themselves to what? Oh, really? Good gracious. It was Stevie and Teresa's? Yes. Let's have a word of prayer right now then, okay? Father Jesus, now the circumstances arise, Father, that we need to call on you in a time of crisis for Stevie and his wife. They understand their house is on fire. And Father, we know that is be a tremendous loss for any of us to lose our homes. Father, it's probably the greatest loss this side of a soul of our family member, oh God. So, Father, we don't know the circumstances right now, but we know that you do. And we just pray, God, that we put this circumstance, Father, their house in your hands. And, Father, we just pray they won't get too excited, oh God, that, Lord, they might not have a safe journey over there. And, Father, you take care of the situation. And we don't know what to pray for, but, Father, we just pray, God, that, Lord, that your will might be done. And, Father, we pray, Lord, for the safety of anyone, Father, that be there at the fire. And again, God, this night we want to thank you, that, Lord, a time like this that we can go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, we want to thank you for Stevie and his wife and for their steady commitment here at this church for all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus here this night. Amen. I know losing, I've had a little fire in my house, but not a real, real bad one, but that would probably be the second thing of if your house go home to see and one of our houses burnt down would be the second thing, I guess, close to losing probably one of your loved ones. But we hope that we'll hear something from them as quick as possible. A steady program is a mark also. Verse 42, they continue to stand fast. That means they devoted themselves. In the New Testament church, they had a devotion to their church. Stand fast. The process of growth. And I really do believe we get back to the New Testament church, you see a process of growth and also a devotion. That's what we need, a devotion of this growth. See, salvation is a beginning. So many people say, well, I'm saying that's the beginning. It's like a newborn baby. When you bring a newborn baby home from the hospital, you don't just lay it out on the porch and tell it to do the best it can. You take it into the house and you nourish it and you cherish it and do everything you can for that baby. Well, there's four statements that we see here in these verses of Scripture. Here are five maybe that you could take here as we grew. It says to start with continued. Now stand fast in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of truth, the enlightenment that they had. They didn't have the New Testament, so the apostles was one that God called for the enlightenment, so the doctrine of our faith. And one of the reasons today, I really do think, and the best way to detect false, and there are a lot of false religion today, and people really don't understand about false religion, and they can't siphon out what's true and what's false so many times today, but they need to be familiar with the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons they cannot tell the difference between false religion and true religion today, because they don't know the Word of God. That's where our church comes in again. That's where church, Sunday school, Wednesday night teaching in the Word of God, because of the doctrine of the devil that we know is in this world. We have got away from the teaching of the Word of God in so many churches this day. And we get back to the New Testament teaching. Again, as I think about our country and I think about the United States as 30 to 50 years or 60 years ago, what a different country we had. The United States is really running on the momentum, really, of our godly ancestors. I really believe that's the reason we have it good as it is right now. And God has blessed us even right now because of our godly ancestors that we had in our country before us. But if this momentum runs out, all I can say is, Lord, help us. Because I really do believe that's what we're running on now, is the momentum on our forefathers and our ancestors, because this country was built on godly people that reverence the Lord. But mother and fathers, really today, is not doing their part. And I tell you, they had a godly heritage, and we'll be bringing up a generation of people that do not know God and what the Bible says. And God have mercy on our mothers and fathers and the family members that's bringing them up this day. And they do not teach it to our boys and girls. It pays to worship and it pays to serve Jesus Christ first and foremost in your local church today. And you hear so many excuses today. Hurt my feelings, this thing and that thing, and so many areas that people say, and the reason they're not coming. And all of it is just excuses. I'm telling you, it's excuses. And they need to understand the importance, because we're bringing up a generation of people in our country that do not know the Lord. As I said, when this momentum stops, God help us, is all I can say. And it says, in fellowship, they stood stand fast in apostle doctrine and fellowship. That means that we enjoy being with one another. That's another thing. I really enjoy being with people at Pleasant Hill. I enjoy this. I enjoy being here tonight. Psalm 68:6 says, God settles the family. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwells in a dry land. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of rain tonight. He's blessed us. We need one another is what he's saying. If we say the Holy Spirit gave you some spiritual gifts and spiritual blessing that you might bless other people, or be teaching, and I like to come out and hear different ones sing, and God has given different ones different type of talents that they might bring to bless all of us, and to encourage one another, and people can enjoy the singing and the playing and the instruments and everything that people do. So that's what it is, a table of enjoyments that we see, the fellowship. And then the breaking of bread, oh, that is the enjoyment. I don't understand really why that's the most important service that anybody ever attend is the Lord's Supper. That's a very, very, very special service. And not that you preach about it, because as you see it before you, and we're never told how many times to do this, but it says often as you do, remember. And the reason it's so special, because if you're saved, you got something to remember. If you're saved, you got something to remember. And you're just like I am, we're human beings, and we forget a lot of times. And that's the reason we have this quarterly, and we should have probably more, that it brings us back and lets us look again at that broken body and that shed blood for what he done for me. And that's the enjoyments. We need the Lord's Supper. And look like all the saved people would want to be around the Lord's table to remember. And then it says in prayer. You see, thank you, Lord, that we can pray. That's the power of the church. Men's prayer wheel on Wednesday, on Sunday evening. We need to enlarge our prayer wheel. Ladies will probably do too. I'll be praying, because that's a generator of the church. We need to pray for our church, pray for one another as we're going to our new church here in just a few weeks. The third thing, we got a spiritual product that we produce. What is that? What do we produce? Verse 42 and 46, again it says, and they continue to stand fast in apostle doctrines and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And they continue daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What is our product? The desire to see people saved. We sit here this night in this church, New Testament church, is it not? Do you have a desire to see people saved? Do you have a desire in your heart to see people saved? What are we doing as a church, as an individual, to see people saved? I know sometimes I get ashamed of myself when I see other people that are such soul winners and they have such a desire for people to be saved. And a lot of times people crosses your life, and one man or two people that I could think of when I was studying this was David Lewis, the man that just gave his whole life to go down to Mexico and be a missionary down to the Mexicans. He just gave everything, and then he was killed on the way back. Some of you remember him. He's been here, and he talked to us on Wednesday night. And everywhere he'd go, he'd be, no matter where we'd go, you know, we'd go in a convenience store, he'd be talking to somebody about the Lord. I'd be getting my Coke or my pack of cracker or whatever I went in there for, and he'd be talking to somebody about the Lord everywhere he went. And this pastor down there called Frank, he's a Spanish American, but we carry him with us when we go across the border. And he's the same way. We're going to get a cup of coffee in a convenience store somewhere, and he'd be talking to the cashier about being saved, or going to a store or some other, whatever we shop in, he'd be talking to see people about being saved. It's just a desire that they have in their heart. It just seems like they can't help it. It just comes out anyway. How about you? How long has it been since you really shared your testimony and you had a desire to see people saved? Has anybody God ever put on your heart? How long has it been since God put somebody on your heart to see them saved? Family members, loved ones, friends, neighbor across the street. You see, that's what we're here for. And as we all come together in the name of Jesus, it ought to be our desire. I believe that's back to that old pattern. Get that same piece of wood that we've been marking as a pattern. That same piece of board is the New Testament. It's back to the book of Acts, and they had a desire from house to house, had a desire to see people saved. Remember how they continued the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, and they produced something. And 3,000 people was added to the church that one day, and it keep on adding as you see the book of Acts. And, you know, God starts out with saved people. And then, you know, there's a program, process that we need to go on. And what we produce ought to be other Christians that people save. And our biggest area is in our youth and also in our young kids on Wednesday nights. We need to help them. I know that one time we had several of our youth coming, and they belonged to a lot of mothers and fathers that didn't know the Lord. They didn't know how to act in church. And about all I could do was criticize them. That's about all I knew how to do, is criticize them. They didn't know how to act and how to behave. They didn't know what it was all about. You see, they needed help. And we got some more kids. Their mothers and fathers don't bring them to church, and we need to see that they have the ministry. There's a lot of people we could help and see saved if we just think about it. We get back to that old foundation. I really believe we need to bring back the church, that old pattern, that old board to start with. Get that old pattern back to mark with. And you know, that old pattern is Word of God back in the book of Acts. And I tell you, it's not other churches, it's what God can do in this church and through each and every one of us. I want to thank you tonight. And I know that we're running late. I'd like to check on Stevie and his wife. And if no one don't have anything else, we'll stand at this time and be dismissed.